C1 Introduction, the 12 Concepts for World Service. To be described in this manual are an interpretation of AA's World Service structure. They reveal the evolution by which it has arrived in its present form, and they detail the experience and reasoning on which our operation stands today. These concepts, therefore, aim to record the why of our service structure in such a fashion that the highly valuable experience of the past and the lessons we have drawn from that experience can never be forgotten or lost. Quite rightly, each new generation of AA World Servants will be eager to make operational improvements. Unforeseen flaws in the present structure will doubtless show up later on. New service needs and problems will arise that may make structural changes necessary. Such alterations should certainly be affected, and these contingencies squarely met. Yet we should always realize that change does not necessarily spell progress. We are sure that each new group of workers in world service will be tempted to try all sorts of innovations that may often produce little more than a painful repetition of earlier mistakes. Therefore, it will be an important objective of these concepts to forestall such repetitions by holding the experiences of the past clearly before us. And if mistaken departures are nevertheless made, these concepts may then provide a ready means of safe return to an operating balance that might otherwise take years of floundering to rediscover. There will also be seen in these concepts a number of principles which have already become traditional to our services, but which have never been clearly articulated and reduced to writing. For example, the right of decision gives our service leaders a proper discretion and latitude. The right of participation gives each world servant a voting status commensurate with his or her responsibility and participation, further guarantees that each service board or committee will always possess the several elements and talents that will ensure effective functioning. The right of appeal protects and encourages minority opinion, and the right of petition make certain that grievances can be heard and properly acted upon. These general principles can, of course, be used to good effect throughout our entire structure. In other sections, the concepts carefully delineate those important traditions, customs, relationships, and legal arrangements that weld the General Service Board into a working harmony with its primary committees and with its corporate arms of active service, AA World Services, Inc., and the AA Grapevine, Inc. This is the substance of the structural framework that governs the internal working situation at AA's world headquarters. Concern has been expressed lest the detailed portrayal of our internal structure might not later harden down into such a firm tradition or gospel that necessary changes would be impossible to make. Nothing could stray further from the intent of these concepts. The future advocates of structural change need only make out a strong case for their recommendations, a case convincing to both the trustees and to the conference. This is no more than would be required for the transaction and passage of any other important piece of AA business. Save for an exception or two, it is noteworthy that the conference charter itself can be easily amended. Perhaps one more precaution ought to be observed when a proposed structural change is to be specially far-reaching. In such an event, the alteration should, for an appropriate period, be labeled an experimental. On final approval, an alteration of this charter could be entered into a special section of this manual, which might be entitled Amendments. This would leave the original draft of the 12 concepts intact as an evidential record of our former experience. Then it could always be clearly seen by our future service workers just what did happen and why. In other chapters, great emphasis is laid on the need for a high order of personal leadership, on the desirability of careful induction methods for all incoming personnel, and upon the necessity for the best possible personal relations between those who work in our services. The concepts try to design a structure in which all may labor to good effect, with a minimum of friction. This is accomplished by so relating our servants to their work and to each other that the chances of personal conflict will be minimized. In the AA services, we have always had to choose between the authoritarian setup, whereby one group or one person is set in unqualified authority over another, and the democratic concept, which calls for checks and balances that would prevent unqualified authority from running unrestrained. The first approach is that of the institutional or authoritarian type. The second is the method of constitutional governments and many large business corporations in their upper echelons. Well, knowing our own propensities for power driving, it is natural and even imperative that our service concepts be based on the system of checks and balances. We have had to face the fact that we usually try to enlarge our own authority and prestige when we are in the saddle. But when we are not, we strenuously resist a heavy-handed management wherein someone else holds the reins. I'm the more sure of this because I possess these traits myself. Consequently, ideas like the following pervade the concepts. No group or individual should be set in unqualified authority over another. Large, active, and dissimilar operations should be separately incorporated and managed, each with its own staff, equipment, and working capital. We ought to avoid undue concentration of money or personal influence in any service group or entity. At each level of service, authority should be equal to responsibility. Double-headed executive direction should be avoided. These and other similar provisions define working relations that can be friendly and yet efficient. They would especially restrain our tendency to concentrate money and power, this being nearly always the underlying, though not always the conscious, motivation of our recurrent passion for the consolidation of our world service entities. Because of the large range of topics which had to be included, these concepts have been difficult to organize and write, since each concept is really a group of related principles. The kind of abbreviated statements used in AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions have not been possible. However, these concepts do represent the best summation that I am able to make after more than 20 years' experience in the creation of our service structure and in the conduct of AA's world affairs. Like the earlier written 12 steps and 12 traditions, the conference charter, these service principles are also the outcome of long reflection and extensive consultation. It is much to be hoped that these 12 concepts will become a welcome addition to our third legacy manual of AA World Service, and that they will prove to be a reliable working guide in the years that lie ahead.
Tonight, we are on concept one, page C3, which is in the back. In the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual with Billy N. of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I messed up. I'm going to go back. We're on concept one on C3. I'm going to read that now, okay? Concept one. The final responsibility and the ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. Okay, now, throughout this free flow presentation, Billy, he will entertain questions on the concepts that have been sent to him directly in the chat. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks, Brooke. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. We'll get something out of the way right away, which is, I'm sure a lot of you, some of you are involved in general service, in a group service, whatever it is. Thank you for your service. But sometimes we hear people say that this is a lot like, you know, it's too much politics. So I'm going to give you one of my favorite examples, which is in 14 minutes, the New York Jets will play their opening kickoff against the San Francisco 49ers. And I am a long-suffering Jets fan that's made my sobriety even rougher than it had to be by being a Jets fan. But there's nothing, you know, I want to watch that game. So, you know, the next time somebody throws the old politics just think about something in your own life and other people's lives where it doesn't feel like politics. It feels like commitment. It feels like you said you would do something and you're there to do it. And as such, you're not like just killing time. Because so many times we hear this thing about politics. Now, if you haven't been with us, we discussed the bylaws and the conference charter the last couple of weeks. I do want to, before, if you go 2 pages before the introduction of the concepts. So a couple of things to realize. I'll try to be an agent of change while being respectful of our past. The narrative stories are not the concepts. Those were Bill W.'s narratives about his explanation of the concepts. The short form and the long form, particularly the long form, are the concepts. Now, that doesn't mean we could say it's just one alcoholic member's opinion, the narratives. But Bill didn't write that all on his own. He had much help from people like Bernard Smith. But there are some things in there as we go through the concepts that are dated for sure. There's one situation where they call one trustees committee the most important one of them all, and we got rid of it in like 1971. So obviously we wouldn't get rid of the most important trustees committee. Obviously things had changed a little bit. There are certain things in the narratives, especially of concept 11, that talks about office structure and employee structure. But again, we're just really getting into the principles that are talked about here. Now the argument of 12 versus 24 versus 36 spiritual principles. I think we could all agree that we know of 24, the 12 steps and 12 traditions. We even have a book called The 12 and 12. Some say 36 principles. Some purists believe that the 12 concepts are really an expansion of the traditions, particularly traditions 2 and 9. But I would say to anybody here with no judgment at all that if you have not been through the traditions, you should think about that. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I am here to tell you the concepts give us more the framework of the process of how we do things in AA service. The traditions give us the real principles of which our organization is based. And so if you're involved in the process and you're voting for things that affect AA's future, not having a handle on the traditions it'll be hard. It's super important that whatever decision we make in Alcoholics Anonymous, at a group, at a district, at an intergroup, at the General Service Board level of trustees, that the first question, no matter how good an idea is, and I am not here to stifle new ideas, but no matter how good an idea is, that the first question has to be, does this idea fit inside the 12 traditions, all 12 of them? It doesn't matter if it fits in 11 out of 12 or 9 out of 12. It's not a majority vote with the traditions. It's not a two-thirds vote. It's what we do fits in all of them, or it fits in none of them. In the introduction to service, there's a little thing here I just want to throw out for everyone who's involved in service, that sometimes we think that we can't have change in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by change, I am not talking about our literature or our message or anything like that. I'm talking about how we do things, how we get things done. The most important thing of what we do is reaching the sufferer who has not made it to Alcoholics Anonymous yet, or even worse than that, has not heard about Alcoholics Anonymous. That's even the worst part. We know a lot of alcoholics die drunk. But it's really sad how many die without ever hearing about Alcoholics Anonymous. So when people who are entrenched and doing the things the way we've always done them are not open to change, the introduction of the concepts is a good place to point them to. It says in the last, second to last paragraph on the first page of the introduction, concern has been expressed lest the detailed portrayal of our internal structure might not harden down into such a firm tradition or gospel that necessary changes would be impossible to make. Nothing could stray further from the intent of these concepts. So Bill says it right there. The future advocates of structural change need only make out a strong case for their recommendation, a case convincing to both the trustees and to the conference. This is no more than would be required for the transaction and passage of any other piece of important AA business. And then it goes on to talk to you about maybe even doing things on a test basis. Now, later on, it does use the words like for, harden down into gospel. What I'm going to say here has nothing to do with any religion. I respect all of them. But there is a past chair of the General Service Board, Ward Ewing. I use his last name because he's a non-alcoholic, even though it's recorded. He does not have anonymity issues. In his rotation talk, I thought it was very interesting because if you don't know Ward's story, he was a regular parish priest in the Episcopal Church who AA started to meet in his church, so he became very familiar with AA. But Ward had a very long and distinguished career in the Episcopal Church. He wound up becoming the dean of the Episcopal Seminary in New York City. So I found it very interesting that he compared his fears about AA to religion in his rotation talk. And he said he wasn't judging any religion. He just said some religions, years after they have started, become more worried about protecting the doctrine than carrying out the mission. And he was saying that he would was hoping that that would not never happen in Alcoholics Anonymous, that we don't have doctrine and dogma, that if somebody came up with a good idea to carry the message better than we currently do it, that we wouldn't be so hardened down to want to do things the way we've always done them. So I just want to pass that on because you weren't there to hear his talk. It also goes on page two of the introduction, in the second, in the first paragraph, I'll just say that it says in other chapters, great emphasis is laid on the need for a high order of personal leadership, on the desirability of careful induction methods for all incoming personnel, and upon the necessity for the best possible relations between those who work in our services. And so he talks there about needing high quality people and having good induction methods. Because sometimes we hear people in AA say, oh, if we just need to give them the job so they won't drink. Well, let's just get that public service announcement out of the way. If someone needs a service commitment to not drink, we have failed miserably someplace else. And we are contributing to their downfall if we think that service is just going to save their life, that hopefully we can get them in touch with a sponsor who can take them through the big book. In the next paragraph, it goes on to say, in the AA services, we have always had to choose between the authoritarian setup, whereby one group or one person is set in unqualified authority over another, and the democratic concept, which calls for checks and balances that would prevent unqualified authority from running unrestrained. The first approach is that of institutional authoritarian type, the second method of constitutional governments admitting large business corporations in their upper echelons. And then it, well, let me just say this before I read the next paragraph. When we get on to concepts, especially three, the right of decision, 10, equal service authorities, and six, talking about the balance between the conference and the trustees, we chose the corporate model. Does it feel sometimes like a constitutional government model? Yeah. But we chose the corporate model because we knew that governments sometimes have too much bureaucracy. We didn't want bureaucracy. We wanted effective organizations. And then the third paragraph, on the second page of the introduction, which is so important because, and this is not for me to take your inventory, it's for me to take my own inventory, and hopefully that other people can look at this when they have positions of leadership in AA. It says, well knowing our own propensities for power driving, it is natural and even imperative that our service concepts be based on the system of checks and balances. We've had to face the fact that we usually try to enlarge our own authority and prestige when we are in the saddle. So I'll talk more about this in concept three and concept 10, but this is what this basically means. Our leaders need room to make decisions, but no one in AA is infallible. Nobody. There is no ultimate right of decision for any one individual in any AA setting whatsoever. There is always a group conscience that that person reports to, no matter how far down the triangle they have gone. And so I can give you examples of at the General Service Conference, for the most part, I would say 99.9% of the time, the chair has wide latitude to say if a motion is out of order or in order. But every once in a while, the chair makes a decision while chairing that meeting that someone in the audience that's a voting member does not like, that someone feels they're really wrong. And in our structure at the General Service Conference, that person has a right to go up to the microphone and say, Mr. Chair, Mrs. Chair, I don't agree. And I would like the body to make that decision as to whether my motion is out of order. And then that person can make a motion to have the body either side with the chair or decide something different. But that should happen at every level of service. It should happen at your group, at your district, at your area. That no person is universally in charge. Just think what a bad recipe that would be for the people I just described, knowing our own propensity for power driving. It says natural and imperative that our system be based on checks and balances. And then another slap in the face. One thing in the concepts, it's a lot like the steps or the big book in that it's not afraid to call alcoholics out on our common tendencies. Things that might not make us alcoholic, but they sure do seem popular to run in a lot of our DNA for all of us. Because this line, face the fact that we usually try to enlarge our own authority and prestige. So it's just important to know that we work in a group conscience setting. Now, we talked about last week the conference charter, which is a handshake agreement, not a legal agreement. It's a handshake agreement between the groups and the trustees. That the trustees will take care of the usual, ordinary business of AA, but that the groups are in charge. And that we should all stay in our lane, which that's another thing. If ever there was a modern day business expression, corporate little lingo, if the concepts was written today, stay in your lane would be in one of these 12 concepts. Because we all know what we're like. We like to run for treasurer, but tell the secretary like what to do, right? Or we don't even stand for a position and then we tell the person that stood for it what they should do. We like to be the unofficial treasurer for a year. Don't take the responsibility. but be able to complain and pick and criticize. We're experts at that. Concept one, the final responsibility and the ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. In paragraph one, it says the AA groups today hold the ultimate responsibility and final authority for our world services. Those special elements of overall service activity make it possible for our society to function as a whole. Now, one disclaimer out there, because things become confusing over time as things have changed. In the service manual here, in concept one and the other concepts, when it talks about world services, it's talking about a time when we were the headquarters, that we were the end-all be-all in Alcoholics Anonymous. Those world services. Today we have 63 autonomous general service structures all around the world. But that gets confusing because one of our affiliate corporations is called AA World Services, right? But AA World Services is just one of the two corporations in our structure to take care of the United States and Canada, and AA World Services with the publishing division takes care of licenses for people to print our literature in other countries. But in this sense, when we talk about world services, we're talking about the services for AA as a whole. So if you've never heard me talk about concept one before, then you don't know my number one pet peeve, so I'll disclose it to you. There are two groups of people who are left out of concept one intentionally. The handshake agreement is between the AA groups and the trustees. There's two important other groups that are not part of that agreement. AA meetings are not part of that agreement. And there's a difference between a meeting and a group. And if you haven't read that, you can go to the AA group pamphlet. The other people who are left out of that is individuals. You know why? Because they didn't want people like me having my own say in how AA should run and operate. They wanted it left to the groups. One vote, one group. If I don't like the way something's done, and it's amazing to me. I'm sure some of you read some things on social media every once in a while. It really is incredible to me how many people will take the time to write paragraphs after paragraphs, but won't take the time to go to their own business meeting. Don't take the time to be a voting member in their own business meeting. And how about this? Write paragraph after paragraph, but not take the time to make sure their GSR is fully funded to attend the district and the area assembly or committee. That will take the time to write paragraph after paragraph, but doesn't want to give their GSR the proper time to report back what's going on in AA. Oh, because someone asked why a pet peeve. A pet peeve because sometimes I run into people a lot of times, and they think that because they're a member of AA, that their opinion counts. And I just want to let them know it does not count. It only counts in one place, at their home group. That's where it counts. So I also want to point out, some of you may have gone on AA.org and you have a searchable PDF of the service manual. I would tell you it's a very, very useful document. In the first sentence of the first narrative, I would point out the words ultimate and final. They're two very, very important words as we go through all the concepts. Because they're only used to describe the group's authority. through the General Service Conference, which we'll get to next week and the week after. They are never used to describe any of the three boards, the General Service Board, the Grapevine Board, or the AA World Services Board, never used to describe their power or authority. They don't have ultimate and final authority. It goes on to say the groups assumed that responsibility at the St. Louis International Convention of 1955. There, on behalf of Dr. Bob, the trustees, and AA old-time leaders, I made the transfer of world service responsibility to our entire fellowship, to the groups. The first General Service Conference was in 1951, if you don't know that. The first four were tests until 1955. I'm going to skip down one, two, three, fourth paragraph that starts with this trusteeship. It says this trusteeship was designed to inaugurate and maintain all of those special services for AA as a whole that could not well be performed by single groups or areas. Now, I have immense respect for the General Service Board, past, present, and future. I have respect for the AA Grapevine Board and the AA WS Board, AA World Services Board. It is an immense responsibility and sacrifice to serve in any of those positions, and I have served in them. I did learn a valuable lesson when I first went to serve on the AAWS board in 2009. A couple of months before I started serving officially, the AAWS board on their own, without consulting with the conference, decided to put the big book on Amazon Kindle. The way it was reported was at the 59th General Service Conference, which was a month before I rotated and went to my first AAWS meeting. Now, this trustee knows that I have, he's, you know, he knows because I've told him before, like how it was announced was very poor. You know, AAWS just got up during their report and said, by the way, we're putting the big book on the Kindle. And we're not telling you for your feedback. We're just telling you so you're not surprised in 3 months in August. That is never a good way to do things in AA, by the way. I just want to let everyone know that. The Kindle blew up. And I don't mean like lots of sales. I mean like it blew up in our face. And we had to take it down a couple of months later. Remember that you were talking about a bunch of baby boomers and a bunch of people of the generation or two before baby boomers who made this decision to go on Kindle. And many of them did not, most of them did not even use Kindle. So when our book went up on Amazon and people started writing comments, they couldn't believe it. Like, where did that come from? I mean, I don't know if anybody today reads newspapers online, but the comments on articles are almost better than the newspaper articles if you're looking for a little daily chuckle in your life, you know. But, oh my God, the fellowship went crazy about these comments. But that taught me a good lesson right from the start of AAWS that I'm very privileged to hold this position as a director on the AA World Services Board, but I cannot let it make me so arrogant that I don't realize that important decisions should have the conference weigh in on them. If you go down 6 paragraphs, the paragraph that starts with, and so we ask ourselves, what further precautions could we take that would definitely guard us against an impairment or a collapse? Nevertheless, the period of 1945 to 1950 was one of such exuberant success that many AAs thought our future was completely guaranteed. Nothing, they believed, could possibly happen to our society as a whole because God was protecting AA. This attitude was in strange contrast to the extreme vigilance which our members and groups had been looking after themselves. They had quite prudently declined to charge Providence with the entire responsibility for their own effectiveness, happiness, and sobriety. The important thing to think about there is when it says, because God was protecting AA, God does not take care of AA. We take care of AA. God takes care of us. And then in turn, we take care of AA. If you go to the top of page 4, it says the average member preoccupied with his group life and his own 12-stepping knew almost nothing of AA's world services. Not one member in 1,000 could tell you who our trustees were. Not one in 100 had the least idea what had been done for AA's general welfare. Tens of thousands already owed the chance at sobriety to the little noticed activity of our trustees and general services. But few realized this was true. And the same is true today. Very few have any idea what goes on. Some may know about the district, but some have no idea what goes on at the area. Very few have any idea what goes on at the General Service Conference or at the General Service Office or the AA Grapevine Office. And maybe that's the way it was supposed to be and is supposed to be. That trustees don't like, you know, get carried in, you know. We don't worship trustees. We don't do any of that. They're just there for a defined period of time to protect AA, to be perfectly honest. I'm not afraid to use that word. The Spanish word for trustee is custodio. I love that word because it's Spanish for custodian. Because some of us go into service, and I want to, you know, use groups as an example too, not just trustees and directors. But everybody wants to be the best at their AA job that ever did it. Everybody. Everybody wants to be the best cookie person, the best coffee person, the best chair person. And the best thing we can do is hope that the person next after us does a better job than we did. Today we have a different situation that causes us some trouble sometimes. In that there are so many conventions and roundups in AA today. So many. And a lot of times what happens is a speaker at a convention says something that's absolutely not in line with our traditions or our history. And those speakers are way more well-known than our trustees, and they almost become like unofficial leadership. Now, believe me, I'm the same. I identify with anyone. I was young in AA once. You know, today I know everybody uses MP3s, but my favorite speaker tapes used to look like my favorite Black Sabbath cassettes, right? Eventually, I would wear them out and play them too often, you know? But leadership in AA is through the General Service Conference, and that's what Concept One is trying to say. It goes on to say, let me just find the paragraph that I want to refer to. One, two, three, four, five, six. On page 4, there were other reasons for the basic shift of ultimate authority and responsibility to AA as a whole. These reasons centered around tradition 2, which declares for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trust and servants. They do not govern. It's really important that everyone knows here that in 1946, when the traditions started appearing in the Grapevine, old-timers did not like them. In 1946, if you had 5 or 6 years, that's like having 40 years today. You made all the rules. You decided probably that the meeting was at your house. You decided what night. You decided what time, you decided what coffee, you made the rules as to who could come to the meeting. Everything. Imagine having that much power in AA, and all of a sudden some guy in New York writes 12 things that now tells you a newcomer has the same authority as you do? That a newcomer member of the group has an equal vote just like you do? So that was in 46. I can tell you that I have read the letters from many of those people to Bill W. in 1949, 1950, 1951, when they were talking about the General Service Conference idea. They were more opposed to this, but now all of a sudden it wasn't going to be the old timers. It was going to be a group conscience of AA as a whole that would make decisions. It goes on to say, tradition too, like all the AA traditions, is the voice of experience, based upon the trials of thousands of groups in our pioneering time. The main principles of tradition too are crystal clear. The AA groups are to be the final authority. Their leaders are to be entrusted with delegated responsibilities only. That means, what does delegated responsibility really mean? Because sometimes you'll have this debate in AA. It's very simple. This is where the answer is. Did a group conscience give you that authority? If it did not, you don't have it. Delegated authority comes from group consciences. I also want to point out, while we're talking about the traditions a little, that if you have not read AA Comes of Age, please read it. It talks about all our mistakes that we made. Continuing on, Tradition 2 had been written in 1945, and our trustees had authorized its publication. But it was not until 1951 that the first experimental General Service Conference was called to see whether Tradition 2 could be successfully applied to AA as a whole, including its trustees and founders. It had to be found out whether the AA groups, by virtue of this conference, could and would assume the ultimate responsibility for their world service operation. It took 5 years more for all of us to be convinced that Tradition 2 was for everybody. But at St. Louis in 1955, we knew that our General Service Conference, truly representing the conscience of AA worldwide, was going to work and work permanently. Perhaps many of us are still vague about the group conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous, about what it really is. Throughout the entire world today, we're witnessing the breakdown of group conscience. It has always been the hope of democratic nations that their citizens would always be enlightened enough, moral enough, and responsible enough to manage their own affairs through their chosen representatives. But in many self-governing countries, we are now seeing the inroads of ignorance, apathy, and power-seeking upon democratic systems. Their spiritual resources of right purpose and collective intelligence are waning. Consequently, many a land has become so helpless that the only answer is dictatorship. Happily for us, there seems little prospect of such calamity in AA. The life of each individual and each group is built around our 12 steps and 12 traditions. We very well know that the penalty for existence, disobedience to these principles, is death for the individual and disillusion for the group. An even greater force of AA's unity is compelling love that we have for our fellow members and for the principles for which our lives are founded. Therefore, we believe that we see in our fellowship a spiritualized society characterized by enough enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love of man and of God to ensure that the democracy of world service will work under all conditions. We are confident that we can rely upon Tradition 2, our group conscience, and its trusted servants. Hence, it was with a great sense of security that we old-timers have now fully vested in AA's General Service Conference the authority for giving shape, through the labors of its chosen delegates, trustees, and service workers, to the destiny that we trust God and his wisdom is holding in store for us. And next week, when we talk about Concept 2 and the General Service Conference, I'm willing to listen to a lot of complaints in AA, but here is what I know. Basically, every year, 93 out of 93 delegates show up. Every once in a while, one gets sick or something happens and an alternate shows up, but it's 93 for 93. The General Service Conference has 100% attendance ratio on delegates, area delegates. Every year, all the trustees and staff and directors show up. So, why do we have such a massive breakdown at the area level? That is where the breakdown is. We do not have a breakdown. I'm telling you right now, in a couple of weeks, the General Service Board will have its October board weekend. There will be an AWS and an AA Grapevine board meeting that weekend as well. Everybody shows up. Why are areas failing today? Why do we say only 40% of groups participate or whatever else? Have we made it too complicated at the area and district level? Do we have too many meetings at the area and district level? I know something that very few areas want to talk about is their current structure actually impossible under current circumstances? I could give you, I'll just talk about Area 15, where I live. It costs on average $1,000 to $1,500 for a group to have a fully participating GSR. That is four quarterly weekends, driving there, sometimes 5 hours, sometimes six. At least one hotel night for the GSR, usually, who's 5 hours away from home. In my area, you're basically made to feel guilty if you don't buy a ticket to the banquet. But we need to have that banquet so that we can get our meeting space for free. So then the GSR is expected to buy a banquet ticket. I wish that when we started new groups, that we had some, that we weren't afraid to tell them the cost to participate. I don't know of one out of the 93 areas right now that has any document to go to new groups to tell them this is what it takes to be a responsible group in our area. It's this many district meetings, this many assemblies, and it's going to cost your group this much money. Now, this apathy, and eventually we're going to have to address it. Because imagine, I don't know how many delegates are in here tonight, but or past delegates, but the General Service Conference has 135 attendees, usually voting, and then about 20 or so observers. But could you imagine if they contracted a room that only sat 60 people? How pissed off would those trustees, delegates, and trustees be? They would be pretty pissed off. I don't know of one area out of the 93 that has enough space at its assembly to hold a general service representative from every group. I don't know of one out of the 93. Why is that? Has apathy become so bad that we just accept that only 20 or 30% are going to come? If that's what's happening, why aren't we looking to like somehow redo our structure, be more efficient with our meetings, not be afraid to tell a new group that besides rent and coffee and maybe insurance and literature, that you need like an extra $1,000 a year? And I'm not even counting if you want to send your GSR to Narasa or PRASA or SASA? And how about every other year when there's a regional forum and one of each, you know, every other year, there's four regional forums a year. If your GSR wants to go to the regional forum. But that's how it was meant to be. The groups were meant to be in charge. So there's a lot of work to be done. And that's why I say, be an agent of change. If what your group, your area is not doing, is not working, why do it over and over again? In both AA Comes of Age and the 12 and 12, we talk about Rule 62. Don't take yourself too seriously. At the board, we always talked about Rule 63, which is not in any AA literature, unfortunately, but maybe it should be a grapevine article. And that is doing the same thing over and over. That is, why do we do it this way? Because this is the way we've always done it. And, you know, insanity, which I'm going to give a counter argument to. I know that in a lot of AA meetings, we hear insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. But that's not my story. My story is doing the same things over and over again when I knew what was going to happen. There was nothing surprising about what happens when I drink. Zero. The place I end up in might look different. The court, the trouble, the who knows, the bar I got thrown out of. All of that may look different. But it's not surprising. It's not shocking what happens. What about our assemblies and our districts? We're going to have our next district meeting and our next assembly, no matter where we live. And it's not surprising how few people show up or what percentage of groups participate. We've just kind of taken that. And, you know, as we've read in Concept 1 tonight, they really wanted the groups to be in charge. Now you could say, well, we have 93 delegates who are all going. Well, that's great. But what about if that delegate is only hearing from 30 or 40% of the groups in their area? And some could say, well, we have too many groups and we don't care. If they don't care, then we don't care. But maybe we don't need that many groups. Maybe more groups should be meetings. And then we would have a better group conscience of just real AA groups. The last thing I'm going to say is just to go back to that first paragraph. Ultimate and final. Those words are only used in our service manual about the authority of the General Service Conference, not the authority of anybody else. That's it. Now, how does that play out in your local life? Your district. When the district votes as a district, it has the ultimate and final responsibility for the district. When your area votes for your area, it has the ultimate and final responsibility for the area. So I am going to go to questions. Please send them in. I will give a couple of minutes for questions. What are your thoughts on better representation of online groups? The delegates seem to be representing only in-person meetings, not the whole. Well, to the person who asked this question, it's a great one. It's an amazing question. But I do want to point out, and I don't want to sound condescending, but I don't care about online meetings because I don't care about brick and mortar in-person meetings. They were never meant to have a voice at the level of General Service Conference. I do very much care about online groups. And I think, like, I don't know if anyone's seen them. I could send them to Brooke and Dee to post here, but I think I have Australia's recent report about online groups. Like, we're going to have to find a way for online groups to participate. Now, online groups can't just, like, shake their baby rattle and say, poor us either. Like, they may have to come to some in-person assemblies. But we need to make sure, like, a sponsee called me a long time ago because a sponsee of theirs called and the person didn't like what their local intergroup was doing. And my sponsee reminded their sponsee that you gave up your voice for your local intergroup. You belong to a group 800 miles away that has no vote at our local intergroup, has no vote with our local general service assembly. I think we have to find a way. I think eventually, my prediction is there will be an online area. Now, that doesn't mean the General Service Conference has to be hybrid. It means a delegate may have to come and serve in person, even though they represent an area for online groups. But we can't just disavow online groups. They're not going anywhere. And there are some online groups that are very valid, real AA groups. There are some that are shit shows, but there are some in-person AA meetings that are shit shows, right? I mean, we all know that. We all know it. But we can't just like pick on good online groups. So I think we're going to have to find a way to make them participate. And until we have an online area, they're going to have to participate through one of the 93 areas. Now, there are, as far as I know, at least two areas that have online districts. And they're dealing with the issues now of letting groups in other areas join their districts. So it's a very complicated situation, but I think it's one that we should, even if it takes 10 years, we shouldn't just write it off. We do need boots on the ground. We need boots on the ground. We need people going to doctor's offices. We need people going into correctional facilities. We need people meeting with professionals. We need people going to veterans courts and drug courts and DWI courts and the places where people like us wind up. So it's not like we can just disavow how important having local presence. Sometimes I say local service soldiers, and then some people get mad at the term soldier. I'm just giving them a huge compliment that they're out there fighting the good fight. But it is a good question, so thank you for that question. Could you repeat what you said about World Services? Yes. Sometimes in the service manual, when it says World Services, it's just talking about services for all of the AA groups. And when these were written, there was just one GSO. Not to confuse it with the AA World Services Board, which doesn't have jurisdiction of the whole world. It's one of our service corporations for the United States and Canada. The only place it looks like it has jurisdiction for the whole world is AAWS grants licenses for other countries to print our literature. This past couple of weeks, I've heard twice at completely different service committee discussions about mileage reimbursement and how that's not being of service and very against this idea. Any input? Oh, yeah, I am the wrong person to ask this question to. I really am. I'm aware of my life today and my career today. And I'm aware that my economic situation is very different than it used to be. But I was an alternate GSR and GSR who was still regularly eating ramen noodles, okay? And I'm not talking about the fancy ones, okay? I'm talking about the ones in the plastic brick container with the little package of dirt that you mix into the noodles to make them look like they have a color, okay? We can't expect people to be sacrificing from their family or their schooling or whatever else. Now, some areas use the nonprofit reimbursement rate. Some people use the regular rate. That's up to the area or district to decide. If you're telling me, so I'll give an example. If you're telling me that you're driving across town and you're not submitting mileage, it's not really going to bother me. What's going to bother me is if your assembly is 150 miles away and you expect the next GSR to have the same economic condition as you to be able to afford gas for 150 miles or tolls. All you have to do is submit for reimbursement. If you don't need the money, just put it in the next your next AA group basket. Just recycle it back to AA. But don't do anything that makes the person serving behind you feel like they should have to be required to. Well, there's two things bad about it. We don't want to interfere with anyone standing for a position because of economic condition. The other thing is, we don't want to wreck AA budgets. People who don't submit receipts are AA budget busters. Because I'll use November as an example, because most AA entities are, their fiscal year is the same as their calendar year. So in November, the treasurer of the area or the district is deciding what's the budget for next year look like. And usually, what they do is add up the 10 months of expenses up until now, divide it by 10, multiply by 12, and that's what it costs this year to do that service. And then you put that number in next year's budget, or maybe you raise it a little. But if someone doesn't put receipts in, then the treasurer is like, oh, wow, the corrections chair needed 900, but the CPC chair, they only used $100 of travel this year. We'll just put 100 in the budget. And then what happens? Next year, somebody is not in the same economic condition. And there's not, so I just feel very strongly that economic condition should never dictate someone's ability to do AA service. Let's see. My area is in the process of moving the assembly to a new location. We are trying out a new site in October, and we know it is about half the size needed if even 70% of the GSRs attend. Well, there's nothing wrong with being prudent. So I'm all for renting the space you need now. But that shouldn't let you accept that you don't have a problem. That a lot of groups aren't showing up. I just think you should see what happens at your next assembly. We're a very strange lot, for sure. I say it all the time. But like, sometimes we think things don't apply to us. Like fire codes. Somehow Alcoholics Anonymous somehow thinks that Alcoholics Anonymous looks at the fire marshal sign the way sometimes I look at a speed limit sign. I think it applies to everyone except me. But the fire marshal fire code applies to us. And so, you know, sometimes I'll be someplace and I'll see things going on. Like, I'll see people bringing extra tables and chairs into a room. The more chairs, the more tables you bring into a room, the more you take away from the fire code. Because it's not about how many chairs can fit in the room, it's about how many chairs can be in the room to allow people to safely evacuate in case of an emergency. And we're so caught up on doing God's work that sometimes we ignore that. So I think see what happens. Someone just made a comment. I'm not going to call out the place, but yes, this happens all the time. All the time. So that's it. I am going to turn it back over to Brooke. We'll see you next week for Concept 2.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.